Good morning. Tis the season. It's that time of year. Some would say it's the most wonderful time of the year. Now, my only thing is, if it's the most wonderful time of the year, we should have better choices than this. I really don't think that's as good as it can get. I know some of you all, that's your favorite thing to eat. But I thought as we start today, I would play a little bit of a would you rather with you all to see where you stand on some choices for this time of year. So we'll start off something simple. Would you rather this time of the year have turkey or ham? Raise your hand if you're a turkey person. All right, ham lovers. See, ham is the better meat. There you go. Would you rather listen to Christmas music this time of the year or just keep it on your regular same old music? If you're Christmas music people, raise your hand. All right, if you're regular music people. All right, I prefer some regular music too. I guess I've got some Grinch in me or something like that. All right, would you rather decorate your house with Christmas lights or would you rather go to the in-laws for the weekend? Oh, I ain't even making some of you answer that one. Are you an old kind of Christmas movie person or a new one? Say like Home Alone or The Grinch. Are you old movies? You like old movies? Yeah. Some old souls in the room. All right. This one, my kids always debate over this one. Would you rather drink eggnog or custard? Eggnoggers in the room. Custard, that nasty thick stuff. It's nasty. Ugh. All right. Would you rather eat cranberries or be put in a choker hold? Or would you rather go to the mall this time of the year or be shot in the foot? And last, would you rather go to Walmart on Black Friday or have a colonoscopy? I'd say schedule the doctor's appointment. You know, this is, most would say, the happiest time of the year. But not because for us believers, not because of eggnog or the Grinch or Christmas music. As we enter this season, this month, we celebrate the light of the world. We celebrate God becoming flesh. And as we enter this season, most are celebrating in the world that we live. But if we're going to be honest this morning to the world, they are not celebrating this season for the reason that we are. This world celebrates, they celebrate with lights, but do they celebrate the light of the world? And many celebrate, but the deep truth is, if we were going to be honest, there are many that celebrate, but deep down they are empty. Even many say that this time of year, they get the holiday blues. It's what they call it. Studies even show that 68% of people say this time of the year, they feel financially strained. Some of you in this room, you feel that pressure. 66% have experienced loneliness this time of year. Many of you are experiencing that now. 63% say that there's unrealistic expectations. 55% found themselves remembering happier times in the past compared to the present. And 50% say that they're unable to be with loved ones. And some of you today, you fall into some of those categories. Some of you today, you might feel a lot of this. You might feel like money is tight this year. You might feel lonely. You might feel pressure. You're reminded of someone that you love that's not at the table this year. I know many of your stories and your situations, and that's true, and that's real, and that's hard. And honestly, I don't know how the world goes through those hard times without the joy and the hope of Jesus. But I guess we do see what happens. If you don't have the joy of Christ, deep down you're empty. Now, there is a big difference between joy and happiness. Many of you know happiness is based on what? It's based on our circumstances. It's an emotional state triggered by external events, and many are just one bad event, one bad circumstance in their life from happening, and they crumble and they fall apart. But joy, on the other hand, is not like happiness. Joy is not externally based. It's peace in the midst of a storm. It's calm. It doesn't mean everything's perfect because we have joy, but it does mean that everything is going to be okay because we have this blessed hope that is so much greater than anything we face in this world. Joy is something that is not affected by our earthly circumstances because we gain our strength from something else. In Nehemiah 8:10, it says this. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord." He says, "Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is what, church? Our strength." He's our strength when we are weak, when circumstances are bad, when situations are bad, when news is bad. We don't find our strength from the things of this world. We find our strength from the Lord. When we are weak, we are all in this room mortal. 1 John 4:4 says this, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people." Because, church, the Spirit who lives inside of us is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. And, church, praise God that He lives inside of us, that we have His power and His strength. I know many of your stories, and without His Spirit, some of you, you don't know how you would have made it through this past year, through the struggles, through the diagnoses and the sickness and the loss. But you did because of the strength of the Lord. But we need to understand that that Spirit that believers have, that His bride has, that His church has, the world doesn't have that Spirit. And we've talked about this numerous times over and over. There are only two spirits in this world. There's a holy and an unholy spirit. And we either have one or we have the other. First, in John 10:10, it says this, "The thief, the unholy spirit, comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Christ says, my spirit has come that they may have life and have it to the full." And that's what Satan is doing. He is destroying people's lives. He's stealing, he's killing, and he's destroying. And if you don't have the joy of the Lord, that leaves you with just happiness. And when your circumstances are bad, when things fall apart in your life, and your life is not built upon the rock of Christ Jesus, then you will be felt. You will feel hopeless. And we have a world that is blinded, that they don't see the love that Christ has for them, the hope that He offers them. They're blinded. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 4:4 when he says this, "Satan, who is the god of what? This world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe." He says they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Unbelievers, they are blinded. Paul says they don't understand this message of Christ, and they have been deceived. But church, we must not forget that we have the light of Christ in our lives. But this world, when you don't have the light of Christ, when you don't have the joy of Christ, you will turn to everything else to find happiness. You will turn to everything else to make you feel good. When that chair at the table is empty this year and you don't have the hope of Christ in your life, you will look to many other avenues to find satisfaction and comfort. Many put their hope in drugs and in medication and sex and shopping and spending, you name it, and they try to fill their life with something. And if you were to sit back and look at a world that doesn't know Christ, you would see many that are empty, that deep down, if they were honest, they would feel hopeless because they don't have the joy of their salvation. They don't have Christ. And don't be deceived. Many in this world hate what we celebrate. They hate the Christ side of Christmas. Many can't stand the name of Jesus. They want Christ Christmas. But Jesus told us not to be surprised by this, that this would happen. In John 15, 18, he says this, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first, Jesus said. He says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is no greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of what, church? Because of his name, because of the name of Jesus. For they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. He says, as it is, they have seen, yet they have hated both me and my Father. But he says this, but this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. And that's true of the world that we live in today. There might be those that because we are followers of Christ, they don't know why they don't like us, but they're not crazy about what we stand for, what we believe in. Now to us, that would make no sense because what we follow in his word, why wouldn't you want someone to love their neighbor? Why wouldn't you want someone to serve others and to give to others? But he told us that if we follow him, there will be opposition to this name, to this one that lives inside of us. He says it's offensive to a world that is perishing. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And many of you in this room, you have experienced that power in your life. It's foolishness to the world, but to us, it is everything. You have experienced God. You've experienced how he has worked in your life, how he has provided in your life, how he has showed up over and over, and you can't deny his faithfulness. It's the reason that we celebrate this season. So as we enter this month of December, as we have plans upon plans upon plans, parties and presents, I want you to think about a word. As I prepared for this message, God kept bringing me back to this word. The word is posture. They're going to put it on the screen. Now, I'm not talking about standing or sitting and having a good posture. I would fail that test real quick. But I want us to talk about our posture as we deal with a season in this month that leads to Christmas. Our attitude, how we approach this month. There are numerous times when I, in my life that I have needed to realign myself and my heart. Like a car needs a front end alignment, many times my heart has needed an alignment. Like building a house, it's so easy to get something out of square if you don't pay attention. It happens the same with our life. And it brings to mind, as I prepared for this, I thought of this. Anybody know what this is? A plumb line. A plumb bob. And a plumb line is a straight cord with a weight on the bottom used by builders to make sure that walls are straight, that they're in plumb. Now, they found a lot better ways than having to use this nowadays. But in Amos 7:7, God's word talks about a plumb line when he's dealing with the nation of Israel. In Amos 7:7, turn with me this morning. It says this. This is what the Lord showed me. The Lord was standing by a wall that he had built true to plumb with a what? A plumb line in his hand, and the Lord asked me, what do you see, Amos? A plumb line, I replied. Then the Lord said, I am setting a plumb line among my people Israel, and I will spare them no longer. Now, a plumb line in Scripture was this image of God's holy and righteous standard that he had set for Israel. that he had this set of rules, this standard that he had told them, that you're not to sway to the left or to the right, that I've set these decrees. This is how you're going to follow. This is how you're going to obey me. Now, y'all know the story of Israel, right? They would follow God. They'd be in plumb with him. Then what? They do this. They do that. They would start wanting to do their own thing, worshiping other gods, creating other gods. And they started to drift away. And this plumb line was representing Israel's failure. How far they had left. How far they had drifted away from God. And church, I believe a lot of times in our life, if we are honest, many reasons we need to pull a plumb line up against our life. We need to pull a plumb line up against our life and the Word of God. We need to check our posture, the posture of our heart. Why? It's really easy to get off course. You go into a deep wilderness without a compass, and you take a few turns, and everything starts to look the same, and you'll see how easy it is for you to get lost and head in the wrong direction. But many times, we need to plumb line our heart. And you might think, I'm fine. My relationship with God is fine. I feel like I'm fine. But what? That's based on how you feel, what you think. But here's the truth of the matter. When you hold this up to the Word of God, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter how I feel about things. It matters what God's Word says and what my life looks like in relation to His Word, to the life that He has called me to live. And either my life is in tune and in plumb with His Word and His standard that He has called for me to live, or it's not. It doesn't lie. Many times it's a slow fade and you don't notice it. Is your life in plumb with God? God set a plumb line up against Israel, and they came up short. And I say all of this morning to say this. This is the season of Christ's birth. Where does the plumb line say that you are, that your family is? Our church is, this nation is. Does it say that we're too distracted? Does it say that you're way too busy? That you're off course, that you're worldly? I know that for me personally in my life, there's numerous times where I've had to adjust the posture of my heart, that I've had to realign my priorities and my motives. I need to, with hands wide open, God, I'm realigning with you. I've been off course. I've been missing the main thing. The plumb line doesn't lie. God's Word doesn't lie. And I've wavered. Maybe it's your attitude. Maybe it's how you've treated your family or your kids or how you've been leading them. And it testifies that there is something off in your life. You've not been happy. You've been getting aggravated way too easy, which represents there's something going on deep inside of you. A spiritual battle, and something is out of plumb, and it usually all goes back to we've not been in His Word, we've not been in prayer, we've not been in communion with Him like we should be. You know, I know for me as a father and a husband and a leader, it's important for me often to plumb line my life against the Word of God and His plan for me. Why? Because I'm leading my wife, and if she's following me or my kids are following me and I'm not in tune with Christ, in line with Christ, then where am I leading them? My attitude, my direction, my priorities just don't affect me. There's a lot of people watching and following. In church, I want to be intentional with my life. I want to be able to say, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But church, can we say that? Would you feel comfortable saying, yeah, follow me as I follow Christ, because you know that you're following Christ in such a way that you're not going to lead someone astray? Or would you like, I really wouldn't want you to follow me this past week. I lost it a few times. I really didn't represent Christ a few times. Church, how can we say and how can we have the fruit of the Spirit? How can we have love? How can we have joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? How can we have all of that when the world's spinning out of control? How can we have all of that when you turn on the news and all you see is war? How can you turn all of that when you see all the drama of politics? How can you have all of that? Church, we can have this joy because of this. In John 3:16, it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." It says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." He says, this is the verdict. Light, Jesus, has come into the world, but people love what, church? Darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. And everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for the fear their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Church, God sent his Son to the world not to condemn you. We always see and have this view of God as just a judge, but he sent his Son to save us, to make a way for us. That's what Christmas is he is sending his Son on a mission to redeem us in this room this morning, to deliver us from the mess that we are in, to lift us out of the muck and the mire, our messed up lives, and to give us a hope and a future. Light came into the world, but there's darkness in this world. We just read who runs and rules this world. But church, the light of Christ is so much greater than any darkness you will ever face. The light of Christ is so much greater than any darkness that this world could have. And because of the darkness, because of the power of the enemy that he does and tries to lure us in our lives, darkness is great this time of year. It's big and it's powerful. And it's distracting. And my prayer as a church in this Christmas season is that we don't miss the main thing. Because many are missing the main thing. Many of you know the story of Mary and Martha in Scripture. Two women that on this particular day, Jesus comes into their house. Two women. Two totally different responses when Jesus is with them. Turn with me to this story in Luke 10, starting in verse 38. It says, "This is Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was what?" This is in your notes. "Distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Church, we live in a Martha world. We are running. How many of y'all feel like sometimes you're running 1,000 miles an hour? And we say, "I have to do this. I have to go there. I have this on the schedule." And what did we just read? It says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that she had to do. She had a lot going on. And how many of you lately have said, "I've just got so much to do. I don't have a free night. I have to go here, there, and everywhere." And many times we are distracted doing good things and we miss the main thing. Here's the question. Was Martha doing something bad in this situation? No. She's not doing anything bad. But she misses the most important thing, that Jesus is there in her house, God with flesh on him. But Mary, she got it. What does Scripture say? She sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what Jesus said. And Jesus was there, and Mary wasn't going to miss a moment of it. Forget about the food. Forget if the house isn't clean. Forget if the kids are running wild or the dishes haven't been done or there's other plans. Jesus is in the house. And Mary, she got it. And she wasn't going to miss it. But Martha, she missed the main thing, doing a lot of good things. In church, as we enter a busy month, there's a lot of good things you can be doing. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with them. But church, we must not miss the main thing. We must not be a Martha story. In John 1:14, it says this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling, church, among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Church, God put skin on. The Word became flesh. God came and dwelt among us. The same one that in John 1:1, it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The one who was there when everything was created, God, became flesh. He put skin on. He went on a mission to save us. And Satan would love nothing more than to distract you and your family and your kids from the main thing this year. He would love nothing more than materialism to consume our hearts. I was just talking with a friend last week about how aggravating it was this time of year, the expectations that come with having Christmas. Whether you're expected to get a certain gift or spend this kind of money, or you're going to go somewhere and, well, this person's going to buy everybody this kind of gift, and you feel like you got to live up to that standard. And I hate what that has become when it's about a bunch of gifts and not the greatest gift that we've received, which is Christ. And Satan would love nothing more than that to consume our hearts, to be a Mary and not a Martha this Christmas. In church, families, your kids, they're watching. Grandparents, they're watching you. We must pull a plumb line and make sure that our hearts are in line with him. We must check the posture of our heart and our attitude. Do others look at us and they see the joy of Christ? Or are they like, man, that's a miserable person. I don't know how Jesus could be inside of that heart. But that's sometimes how we look. Like, we have the joy of Christ, the joy of our salvation. He has set us free, and you walk around and look miserable. Church, you would be amazed at what God can and will do in our hearts when we are in line, when we are in plumb with him. Sometimes we just need to slow down. As I was working on this, I like old country music. I was reminded of the old Alabama song. It says, I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All you got to really do is live and die. I'm in a hurry and don't know why. And I think sometimes that's us. We're chasing our tails. We're in a hurry. We have no idea why we are, but we are. And sometimes we need to slow down. Sometimes we need to be present. Sometimes we need to put our phone down. And I'm talking to myself. I've been really trying to work on that lately because it's really easy and convenient to come home and everybody's doing this. Or you go to the restaurant and everybody's doing this and we're not present. We need to have conversations at the table. We need to hold hands and pray. We need to read the Christmas story. We need to read scripture together. We need to make family time. We need to turn off the TV and play more games. We need to serve someone else. We need to do something for someone, knowing that we will get nothing in return. We need to be givers. We need to be Marys in a Martha world. We need to say no to some good things in our life so that we don't miss the main thing. Because church, life is fast. And time flies, and I want to cherish every moment, and I want to be present. And sometimes we need perspective because life is short. A wise man wrote in Ecclesiastes 1:14. He said, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, and all of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Church, don't chase after the wind. Don't chase after that which will not last. Don't spend all your time and your energy and your resources and your focus on stuff that's going to burn up one day. Pour your life and your energy into things that matter. One of the greatest blessings to our family the last several years has been Junior. My sister married Junior. Junior and Audrey met on a mission trip several years ago in Haiti. Actually, my dad, when he was preaching, Junior was his translator in Haiti. And my sister met Junior in Haiti, and they get married sometime later. But when Junior came into our family, coming from Haiti, he gave my family a lot of perspective. Junior wasn't raised in America. He didn't have our luxuries. We say blessings. Sometimes I say curses because they make us way too comfortable. Numerous times, I think through the past few years, we've been asked to pray for his family, whether they're in fear for their life. And his mother's had to move to the countryside because it's not even safe in Haiti where the cities are right now because of gangs. Most days, they have one meal a day. Yet they're happy. Yet they're some of the most joyful people that you would ever be around. And so I asked Junior to talk with his son about Christmas and give us a little perspective of what that looked like for him growing up. Turn your eyes to the screen.
Dear Santa, my name is Ryder Plays. I am 7 years old. I would like a drone with a camera, a Nintendo Switch with a case, a Spider-Man watch, water camera, cap gun, knife, Pokemon toys, Pokemon case, Santa toys, elf toys, and a Bible. I have been a really good boy this year.
Wow, Ryder. Those things sure are cool. Getting present is a lot of fun, but sometimes focusing on what we want is not the main idea, okay? Would you like to hear about Christmas when I was in Haiti?
Yeah.
Some days I would wake up, I was not sure if I was going to eat something, and we did not have water like at our house, exactly like we do here. To have water, you know what I used to do? I used to walk for about a mile to get water and then bring it back to my house. So this was the only way we could store water. And then if we want to drink water, if we want to make food, we use this water. So thinking about every day we're using stuff with water, we have to walk at least a mile just to bring water to our house. So it's like a different life. And some days, you know, I used to go to school without any food. But my point is, you want all those nice things, but somewhere else, some people is being grateful for just having water, for just having electricity, or for not having all the stuff. Because I used to be a kid like you, I was always grateful, you know? Even if I did not have all those fun toys, all those nice things, I was always grateful just for having water sometimes and food sometimes. So yeah, it's okay to want some stuff, but when you already have everything you need, you don't wanna miss the point. You don't wanna miss the main idea of being grateful for what you already have.
Did you get presents or like toys for Christmas?
Well, my dad was working really hard. That means there were things that we needed, not wanted. When I say needed, it was mostly like I just said earlier, food, water, So if my dad had some money, he's not gonna use it to buy toys or gift, okay? He's gonna buy food, water, and pay the school for us. Now, there was one year, we had nowhere to get gift, and I wanted to play soccer. You know, we play soccer in Haiti. And guess what I did? I took a bunch of tapes and papers. I rolled the papers together and then taped the papers out, and then I make like a big ball and turn it into a soccer ball. And we just play soccer with like a taped paper. So that was my gift that year.
Did it make you sad when you didn't get presents on Christmas?
I got used to not having presents all the time, okay? But yes, sometimes when I see other kids getting gifts from their parents or from friends, that made me sad a little bit. But guess what? I was always happy. I was always grateful for what we had. We had our family. We had a place to sleep. I mean, that's all that mattered at the time to me.
Even if you didn't get presents, how did you still have a great Christmas?
Remember, Christmas is not about the gift. It's not about what you get, right? I had my brothers with me. So, for example, I told you about the soccer ball I made. That Christmas, what we did, we just went outside and played soccer together. I had my brothers with me, so we still had fun, even if we did not have the gift that everybody else had, but we still had something to have fun and, you know, enjoy Christmas.
Wow, sir, you are saying that there's more important stuff to be grateful for?
Yes, what do you think? We have water, right? We have a house to stay. We have electricity. I have a job.
I think it's a good time to pray for all that we're thankful for.
Go ahead.
God, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you that my brothers are safe. Thank you that my two uncles are here. Help Rodney and everybody that still live in Haiti to be make sure that they're safe, and please make sure that everybody will be safe in Haiti, and help them to remember that they are protected. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, how our lives can get off plumb. Oh, how our lives, which were created to be plumbed to the Word of God, focused on heavenly things and not on earthly things, the enemy is really good at distracting us from the main thing. That lady that you saw in that video with the video kind of moving, that was Junior's mom walking down the streets of Haiti. I give him a hard time. Some of you are thinking, I ain't eating that chicken that was sitting out on that table. But they're happy. They got joy. Because as long as this is in plumb with what matters, it don't matter about Black Friday. It doesn't matter about Cyber Monday. It doesn't matter about how much money you got to spend for Christmas. Why? Because Joy Church is not based on circumstances. Joy is not based on stuff or money. Joy isn't based on the amount of meals we have in a day or how full our plates are. Joy is based on a man named Jesus. And when your life is in plumb with him, he satisfies and gives what this world cannot give, and he is enough. Church, on Christmas, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he left glory. I don't think we can imagine or fathom what he stepped down from to step into our mess to make a way for us. Lives many times get so out of plumb to the life that God has called us to live, distracted and lured away by the things of the world that matter to nothing. May we heed the words of Matthew. Even tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up. Satan will be knocking at the door. When you wake up tomorrow and it's Cyber Monday and you want to go click on a bunch of stuff to buy online or on Amazon because it's on sale, be reminded of Matthew 6:19. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Store yourself treasures in heaven, church, where moth and rust cannot destroy, where thieves will not break in and steal. For wherever your treasure is, church, there your heart will be also. I ask you this morning, where is your treasure? Our hearts don't lie. Our bank statements don't lie. Our schedule and our calendar, our time that we spend, it doesn't lie. Corey and the band is going to come out as I begin to close. Ask Corey to sing a song for invitation that we've not sang for many years. The chorus of this song goes like this. It says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you. Then there's a line that is so powerful. It says, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you. And I got a feeling that there's some in the room today that you need to say, God, I'm sorry for what I've made it. Because if I look at my life right now and I look at your word and your plan for my life, I'm not in plumb. I'm plumb distracted. I'm plumb distracted. I'm chasing after the wind. Every morning I'm waking up and I'm chasing after the wind. And it's affected my family and my kids. And some of you need to say, I'm done with that. God, I want to align my life. I want to be in plumb with you. I want to change the posture of my heart. I want others to see the joy of Christ in my life. I'm tired of walking around looking like a miserable person when I've been saved. Can you imagine this season, what it would be really like if our life was all about Him and not about us? All about someone and serving others. Church, He came to humble Himself and to serve. May we, the church, do likewise. Today, if your life is not in plumb with Him, the amazing thing about the grace of God is that can change today. So I challenge you, church, as we enter this month of December, with calendars full and plans and Christmas lists and everything else, plumb your life to what matters. One day the King is going to return. The Master is going to return. How will He find us? Faithful and plumb, or chasing after the wind? Let's all stand as we have this time of invitation.